بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوان الأنصار اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Inshallah, today we want to see why we need to study religion. Some people think that if we ignore religion, don't study it, it's easier. Because if you study, then there is a chance that you may come to know that some religion is, for example, true, or you may be, for example, I don't know, convinced that this religion is good, then you have to follow it, you have to commit yourself. So it's better that you don't go to this line of studying and inquiring about religion so that you remain free. So there are many people, you know, who don't want to learn about religion. They think in this way they have no responsibility. Or, for example, they say there are too many different religions, you know, different claims. Every religion says, you know, I am true, you know. So we wonder what to do. Why we should spend our time on the studying religion? It's very controversial. So let's do something else. Let's do science. Let's do, I don't know, business. Why we do religion? So today we want to see why we need to study religion. There are different reasons why we should study religion. One is that human beings naturally, instinctively have desire for learning. You know, we are all given curiosity. You know, we want to learn. For us, not to know bothers us. You know, we feel we lack something. It's not just only when we are, for example, hungry and we don't have food, or we are thirsty, we don't have water, you know, we suffer. When there is a question mark, we suffer. Yeah, we want to understand, you know. If someone hides something, for example, you know, says you cannot see what is in the next room, you suffer. Why? Maybe before that you didn't have any problem, but now that someone says you cannot know, you suffer. Why? Because we want to know the truth. And as long as there is a question, we are not relaxed. We want to know. And this is why we have to manage our curiosity. Unfortunately, sometimes we try to know the things which are not useful. For example, something which relates to someone else and has nothing to do with me. It's his or her personal issue. Our curiosity wants us to find out, but we have to control ourselves. Or sometimes we want to understand something which relates to us, but still we shouldn't know. Okay? Sometimes doesn't relate to me. Sometimes it relates to me, but still we shouldn't know. Why? Because it can damage my relation with someone else. For example, I'm sure every person wants to know what other people think about him, what other people tell about him. You know, we want to know, yes? But sometimes it's better not to know. Because if you know what they say about you, then you may get into difficulty with people, because not everyone says, you know, good things about you. Yeah? So it's better not to know. Or if they all say good things, also sometimes it's better not to know, because then you may become, you know, proud of yourself. Yeah? So it's better just to know enough in order to find out the best, you know, directions. So getting feedback is very good, because in this way I can find out, you know, what is wrong with me or what is strong with me. Yeah? But I don't need to know everything, and I don't need to know exactly who said these things. Sometimes it's better not to know. So this is why in Islam, you know, it has been very much condemned, severely condemned, if a person brings to you the news about what a person has said, another person has said about you in a bad way. You know, someone was, you know, saying something about me. No one should, you know, say, this person said this about you, because then they are damaging my relation. If they really love me, when I am absent, they should defend me. Yeah? And if it is needed that I know, they shouldn't mention the name of that person. They say, there was such a thing and I tried to defend you, but maybe you can better help me with giving a better explanation so that I defend you again. But why you say so and so said this? Because most of people, it's very difficult for them not to change their relation when they know what, you know, bad things people tell about them. Rasulullah, imams, great personalities are different. Even if they know this person, you know, was saying many bad things about him, when they see him, they are able not to change their behavior. Okay? But most of us are not that great in our heart. Even if we think that someone has said something bad about, just thinking changes my behavior. This is the problem. So sometimes we have to guide and regulate our curiosity by not knowing what is irrelevant or what is relevant, but still it's better not to know details. Also, there are many things which are relevant, but they have no priority. Yeah? I can spend all my life, you know, studying, you know, about the history of my town. 40 years, 50 years studying, you know, the history of my town. It's relevant to me, but it's not priority. Studying, you know, all my time, finding who was my grandfather, who was my grand-grandfather, what was he doing when he was 20 years old, you know, what was he doing when he was 21 years old, what was... It's relevant, but it's not necessary. It's not priority. It's something that, whether you know or you don't know, it doesn't make that much difference. So, we have to guide and regulate our curiosity. Now, the question is, when it comes to religion, is religion something relevant or not? And second, is it a matter of priority or not? For sure, religion is relevant. I'm not saying religion is true or not. We are not talking now about the truth. We are just talking whether we need to study and find out whether it is true or not. Yeah? Because many people may tell something and you say, I don't bother whether it is true or false. For example, someone says that people in that town, in that European country, have this habit. I don't bother to find out whether it is true or false. Yeah? So, I am not talking now about truth or falsehood. I am talking about why I should bother finding out. Okay? So, first of all, religion is relevant. Why? Because every religion claims things that I should believe, I should do, And if I do, I will benefit. If I don't do, I will harm. Some religions claim that if you don't, you know, follow us, you would have, you know, miserable life. You would have eternal, you know, miserable life. So people have to find out the truth, because this is relevant. Okay? It's relevant. It's not about another person. And secondly, it's a matter of priority, because it's something that can totally change my life. It's not something that it's relevant, but whether you know or not, it's not that important, like the examples I gave. Religion is bringing fundamental changes to life. If this religion is true, your life will totally change. And if it is false, you don't need to change your life. You don't need, you know, to do anything. So you have to find out which way is correct. So it's very important that we inquire about religion. And when there are different conflicting claims by different religions, we should compare, we should study, we should evaluate and find out which one is the true or which one is the best. So, the curiosity that we have, the thirst that we have for learning, when it comes to religion and with the fundamental questions that religion poses, motivates us to think about religion. For example, some of the important questions. Is this world created by chance, by accident, or has been created by a creator? And if it's created by a creator, is that creator intelligent or has created this blindly? This is an important question, and this question has been in the mind of people for thousands of years. You cannot say this is not important or this is not relevant. Are there material beings only in this world, or we have immaterial beings? Some people say there are angels. Some people say there is, I don't know, God. Some people say there are human souls, spirits, which are not material. These are ideas. We need to find out. Or when it comes, for example, to human beings, are we just body or we have a spirit? Is our life limited to this physical life, or we are going to have another life? What is going to happen to us after we die if we have another life? What can we do to make our life better if there is another life? You know, these are questions that you cannot ignore. I'm not saying whether there is such a thing as another life or not. I'm just saying just having these questions is enough to motivate you to find out the truth. And also you see that in reality, human beings have always, throughout the history, in generations after generations, have always taken these issues seriously. These are the issues that philosophers, theologians, many thinkers have discussed, and maybe millions of books, papers, movies, art objects, all are produced about these issues. Even those who don't believe in God, they have addressed these issues. Even communists, atheists, all they have addressed these issues. Even idol worshippers, they have addressed these issues. Yeah, I'm not talking about the response. I'm just saying that why we should, you know, study religion. So it's not really reasonable for someone to say, I don't want to bother studying, you know, religion. I want to just ignore. This doesn't solve the problem. You know, if someone says that there is a, for example, I don't know, enemy for you, that who is after you, you can say, okay, let me protect myself, let me defend myself, let me go to a safe place, which is rational. You can say, I don't want to know about this, because if I know about this, I get worried. Okay, if you don't know, you don't get worried, but the enemy doesn't stop. Some people think that if we don't know what is happening in the world is good, because when we know, then we become worried. Okay, whether you are worried or not, that issue is there. Yeah. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Man nama lam yunam an." If you sleep, your enemies don't sleep. It's not that the enemies, you know, say, okay, he has gone to sleep, let us now sleep. No, the enemies say he's now sleeping, so it's the best time to attack. Yeah, it's exactly the, when you are sleeping, they attack. If you are awake, they don't attack. They wait for you to go to sleep. So, to deny something, which is a mechanism that we, you know, in psychology, you know, we have studied that one way of defending ourselves is to deny. But this is not always good. Sometimes it can be a bad defense policy that you deny. Many countries were invaded by other people because they were denying that there is enemy. They were, you know, ignoring the threats. So they were invaded by other people. You know, there is a bird that this bird is very tasty. They say it's very tasty. You know, we call it kapk. I don't know what is it in English. Kapk. So it's tasty, and you know, people go for hunting kapk. So this bird, for example, if it is winter and there is a snow, when the hunters go after it, in order to get rid of the hunter, when it cannot run away, because you know it cannot, you know, fly, you know, it's just walking. When it cannot run away from the hunter, then put its head in the snow and the feet in the sky. So in this way he cannot see the enemy. It doesn't know that enemy can see. You know? So, perhaps, you know, this bird is defenseless, cannot do anything better than this, just he doesn't want to see the moment that the enemy catches. But this is not a good policy, you know. So, if you can defend yourself, you have to defend. You cannot close your eyes and say, oh, I don't want to know what is happening to, you know, me or my nation or my people, you know. Because, so, we have to find out the truth. The second reason, in addition to our thirst for knowing and in our curiosity, is that we have this natural, instinctive desire or motivation for gaining what is beneficial. Every person tries to gain something which is beneficial. If someone has normal life or miserable life or even luxurious life, but you tell him that there is a way to improve yourself, he wants to find out what is the way to improve myself. We always want to bring, you know, good things to ourselves, gain good things. And this is the way that humanity has improved. You know, animals are not like this. Animals want to bring good things to themselves as much as they can meet their basic needs. Okay? So they want to bring good things to themselves. They want, for example, food. They want, I don't know, for example, shelter. They want to, for example, have a good, you know, for example, mate, okay? But just to meet the basic needs, they never want to improve. So, for example, if there is a place that is good for their life, then they don't want to make it, you know, bigger, or, you know, to decorate it. Or say, okay, for example, this place is now becoming busy, let's go to a suburb, you know, it's better. They are satisfied with their basic needs, okay? So if there is enough food which is good for them, it's enough. They don't, you know, migrate to another place to find a better food or more delicious food. Yes, if there is no food here, they migrate. But as long as there is food here, they don't, you know, change. And this is why, if you look at the life of the animals, you see that it's not changing. If you compare, for example, the way birds make their nest today, and the way they made it 100 years ago or 500 years ago, it's the same. You don't see any progress. Okay? Because they are satisfied with the basics that they have. Okay, so inshallah we can continue after salat. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. سيما بقية الله وتبع رضيه أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوان الأنصار. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن أولك برحمتك. Studying different reasons why we should inquire, investigate about religion. We said that the first reason is we have to respond to our curiosity, to our natural desire for understanding, especially those things which are relevant and important. The second is we have naturally, instinctively, the quality of looking for something that is beneficial for us, and we try to achieve that, we try to bring it to ourselves. I said, when it comes to human beings, this has no limit. When it comes to animals, there can be a limit. They want to gain what is beneficial, but to a basic level. They are not after, you know, luxurious life. They are not after even enhancing their life. Very basic. There is no greed in animals. Sometimes when we as human beings, when we look at them, we think that this is greed, but they don't have anything like greediness. When it comes to human beings, there is no limit in our interest for improving our life. And this is good, but this has to be regulated. It is good because then we are all the time able to improve. We can improve in sciences, we can improve in technology, we can improve in human relations, we can improve in akhlaq, we can improve in many things. But also, there is a risk. That because there is no limit, if you go to the right direction, then you can want more and more of material pleasure, worldly pleasure. So, the fact that Allah has given us unlimited capacity, unlimited desire for, you know, betterness, for, you know, improvement, it is very good, but we have to be careful. We shouldn't, you know, use it in the wrong direction. We should use it in the good direction. So, we should, you know, decide for ourselves. When it comes to something which is for temporary use, and I mean by temporary use, 70 years, 80 years, compared to the eternal life, this is even less than a second. Yeah, 70 years, 80 years compared to eternal life, even less than a second. So for something temporary, you shouldn't, you know, work day and night. You know, it is said that Prophet Nuh, Allah Nabi and Awali alayhi salam, who lived in his people, you know, with his people as a prophet 950 years. Labbitha fi qawmih, means he stayed with them, okay? Alfa sana illa khamsina. So 950 years was not his life. Perhaps this was his prophethood period, okay? It is said that when he was going to die, he said, if I knew that life is so short, I would have, you know, perhaps acted differently, okay? So for him, it's very short. You know, you look at back of, you know, back, look at your life. It's very short. Yeah? When you look ahead, you think it's too much. You know, but when you go and look from here to the past, it's very short. So, for something temporary, we should not, you know, try to achieve perfection. First of all, perfection is not possible. Secondly, the amount of energy that you are using for something which is temporary should be reasonable. But when it comes to something which is going to be with you forever, like knowledge, like akhlaq, like good actions, yeah, here we should go and work, you know, day and night. There is no limit here. Greediness here is good, yeah. You are not satisfied with anything. So if you can do all the good things and there is opportunity to do one more good thing, you have to do it. Don't say, you know, I am content. This is not a place for qana'ah, okay? Here we have to do everything to achieve more. So Allah has given us this unlimited desire for perfection, but we have to find where is really a matter of perfection and where is just a matter of, you know, luxurious, where is a matter of greed. So there is such a thing definitely in us, and as I said, in a very unlimited way compared to the animals. Now let's go back to our issue, and that is religion. If religion is true, imagine, for example, Islam. If Islam is true, just imagine, I'm not saying it's true or not true, I'm just saying imagine, if religion is true, for sure it brings lots of benefits to life. Yeah? It gives you principles in life, which is very important. You know, it's, I don't think, you know, we can really appreciate the gift of having religion. Because when you have religion, in addition to having God as your guardian, you know, when you have religion, when you believe in God, you feel that this world belongs to you. You know, imagine if your father is president of one country. How do you feel in that country? And if your father has built that country and has all the resources of that country and everyone there is, you know, his slave, for example, how do you feel? When you feel to that country, you know, you feel, you know, very comfortable, yeah? We mu'mineen in this world feel very comfortable. If we have good relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we feel very comfortable because we know that everything in this world is created by our Lord. And everything is obedient to our Lord. And no one can run away from His will. No one can harm me if He doesn't let them. And if He lets, for sure there must be a good reason. Okay? So I have peace of mind. Religion gives me this peace of mind. Compared to someone who thinks that he's here just by chance. There was an explosion and, you know, then a process of evolution, you know, started and he's here by chance and he's going to disappear soon. He's going to become a piece of soil. It's two different, you know, situations. The first gives you peace, tranquility, stability. The second makes you baseless. You feel you are like, I don't know, just a dust in the air, a drop in the ocean without any connection. Also, when it comes to our behavior, religion gives us clear guidelines. I don't need every day, you know, to think, shall I be honest or not? You know, there are people that they decide, today I want to be honest, today I want to cheat. Or all the time they want to cheat. Because it's in their own hand. If they suit, you know, it suits them and they benefit, they are honest. If it doesn't suit them, they change. They keep their promises when they wish. Because there is no responsibility. They don't answer to anyone. Okay? They act just as they wish. We think it is good. We think, oh, this is very good because they have freedom. They decide for themselves. But this freedom is very disturbing. Yeah? Because then every day you have to think what you are going to do. And what will be the outcomes? What will be the consequences? And also, how much you know? How much experience you have? You make all... You know, many people come to religions like Islam, for example, not because, for example, they find Islam, for example, a religion which is, for example, you know, very easy. Sometimes they find Islam very easy, but sometimes they come to Islam because they like a kind of, I don't want to say rigidity, a kind of, you know, principledness which is there, you know, a kind of fixed form of life, you know, because in this postmodern world, everything is, you know, loose. Everyone doubts. So they want a religion that says, do this, don't do this. Yeah? Because this gives peace of mind. You have principles. Okay, no relation with a stranger, with non-mahram. We think it's difficult. But for those who have suffered from liberalism, this is amazing. This is heaven. In the months of Ramadan, don't eat, don't drink, don't do this. We think it's very difficult, but they feel, oh, they are very important. You know, they are like, you know, the people who are trained to be commandos, you know. For them, discipline is very important. Islam gives discipline. And it's very, unfortunately, sad that sometimes we think people want to bring liberalism to Islam. They want to play with the fatwas. They want to play with taqlid. They want to make everything, you know, something that you can choose. A matter of convenience. If you are not happy with this, okay, do that. If you are not happy with this, go to that direction. In the end of the day, they want to have religion, but at the same time, their own liberty, which is not working. Religion brings its own liberty, and that is liberty, freedom from doubt, from worries, from becoming an animal which only wants to, you know, secure his own interest. This type of freedom is important. Freedom is not to do what you wish. Freedom is to do what you should do. So, it's very important. You know, sometimes I hear that people who have fasted in the months of Ramadan for the first time, they are very happy. They feel, you know, that they are empowered. They feel that they have done something great. Sometimes we feel, you know, maybe very sorry for them, or maybe non-Muslims feel sorry for us that we fast. You know, oh, you fast, you know, poor guys, you know, in these 17, 18 hours. They feel sad. But many people, when they, especially for the first time they do this, they find it's very beautiful because you are doing something with, you know, commitment. There is a principle, you know. You know why many people go for Buddhism, or for Sufism, this type of spirituality? Because they give them very clear, you know, guidelines. Even sometimes you say how much you have to breathe. Yeah? Because people, you know, want to have principles. You know, many people come and say, no, tell me what to do, what not to do. You know, they want to give them a list, 100 things you do every day. Yeah? To say, be muttaqi, they think it's simple. Yeah? They want someone to say this many times. Before you, for example, go go to bed. This is like when you wake up. This is like when you have food. So they want a new principle. Of course, I'm not saying that it's always good, because we have to follow religion in the way that is described by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But we have to appreciate that religion brings principle, brings, you know, stability, brings tranquility. So this is something amazing. So if you are in doubt whether religion is true or not, at least think that it might be bringing this to your life. At least there's a chance. Yeah? So you should inquire. If someone says that there is something good, but you need to apply, okay? So you go and study. You don't say, no, I don't want to know about it. Say something that can change your life, something that millions of people have tried and they were happy. So you don't say, no, I don't want to test this. You go and would study this. On the other hand, we have a natural motivation, or you can say desire, for protecting ourselves against what is harmful, what is destructive. These two work together. Bringing what is good, keeping away what is bad, what is harmful. If someone says, this type of food can shorten your life, you think about it. If 124,000 people say that something, people who were known to be pious, to be honest, and they were followed by billions of people, at least you should study. I'm not saying accept. We will talk about it later. But at least you have to study. You cannot say, no, I don't bother. They say that if you treat people with injustice, if you violate rights of people, if you kill, if you misappropriate the property, that you damage the reputation, you will suffer, you will be punished. You will have eternal, for example, punishment for certain types of sins. You cannot say, I don't want to know about these things. I don't want to inquire about these things. Every human being tries to protect himself against the dangers, against the risk, against the damages, the harm. Yeah? So automatically we have to inquire. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. In Mecca, told the people of Mecca, if I inform you that behind this mountain there is an army of enemies who want to attack and capture Mecca, do you believe in me? They said, yes, we have never heard any lie from you. All your life you have been always honest. We accept. So Rasulullah said, I warn you about the punishment after the day of judgment. And it is not only one person, 124,000 prophets, all the imams, all these, you know, religious people, they have said this. I'm not saying accept, I'm saying study. Because if you study, then you can see by yourself whether there is good argument or not. But at least you have to study. So I cannot understand why some people don't spend time to study religions. You have to study. So these are three major arguments why we should inquire. Sometimes people may say the chance or probability of this religion being true is very low. I am thinking it's very unlikely. So I don't want to study. So we say, first of all, who said that the chance is very low? This is a subjective matter. Maybe something, sometimes you think something, the chance is very low because you are not expert. You know, there are people who drink or eat bad food, unhealthy food or drink, and they say they are not, you know, harmful. Because they don't know. If you give it to an expert, to a doctor, to an expert in nutrition, they tell you are wrong. There are people who smoke and they say it's not harmful. Or it's very little. Okay, you don't know. It's not that it's not harmful. So, first of all, the chance is very high. But even if the chance was low, we have two factors. One is probability. The second is the probable. Okay, two factors. Probable, the probability. For example, someone says there is fire in the beginning of the building. Okay? So probable is fire, having fire, because you are not sure. So there is likelihood that there is fire. So fire is probable. Al-muhtamal. Okay? The probable. Probability is the chance. How much it's likely that there is fire. So for example, maybe if a person that you know and trust tells you, you are 100% sure. Maybe a person that you don't know says this, 50% you are sure. Yeah? If few people say, you know, 80%, you know? So there is different levels of probability. Sometimes when probability is low, but the probable is very important, still we try to protect ourselves. Yeah? For example, if there is 1% of chance, just 1% of chance, that by, for example, doing this transaction, the government is going to come and, you know, close your business and put you in prison. And then, you know, for example, deport you from this country if you are not a citizen of this country. So the chance is 1%. But you say, oh, let me inquire, let me double check, let me ask some people, because I don't want to lose my business, I don't want to go to prison, I don't want to be deported. Yeah, even 1%. If now a person that we have never seen comes and says, you know, there is fire. Even if a child, you know, comes with worry, you know, and says there is a fire, we don't say, oh, he's playing. It's a show. No, we say, even if it's one person, let me go and check. At least we send someone to check and, you know, tell the truth to us. So, sometimes percentage is very high. Sometimes percentage is low. But because the probable is very important, we don't want to, you know, take any risk. Okay, we don't want to take any risk. When it comes to religion, the chance is very high because many, many people have said this. Many honest people have said this. But even if the chance was low, the probable is so important. What is the probable? Eternal happiness or eternal miserable life? This is not something, you know, small. It's not something little. Yeah. Yes, it's not something that you can ignore. So, definitely we need to inquire about religion. Definitely we have to study and study and study till we are 100% sure that we have found the truth. Whatever is the truth. Before you study and achieve certainty, you should not be satisfied. And I am saying studying and achieving certainty, because some people are certain because they have not studied. You know, some people say, I am certain that God doesn't exist. Have you studied all the books, all the arguments? Have you discussed with the scholars who believe in existence of God? Even when it comes to religion, we say, if you are certain that God exists, it's not enough. Our ulama say that when it comes to usul al-deen, not only you should be certain, you should have arguments. Yeah, it should be according to reason. If someone says, I believe in Islam, we ask why? He says, because my father told me that we should be Muslims. This is not acceptable. You should be able to argue. You should be able to back up your faith with reason. Because if certainty is not backed up by reason, this certainty can be a result of ignorance, or it can be a result of, I don't know, mistake. Or even if by chance, you have come to the truth, if you don't have reason, one person can come and put some questions in your mind and take away your iman. Yeah? So it's very important that your certainty is based on reason. You know the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Asked an old lady who was working with a sewing machine or making thread, from, for example, cotton, making thread with a machine. Rasulullah asked this lady, how do you come to know that God exists? This lady said, when I move this machine with my hand, it moves, it functions, it works. When I stop, it doesn't move, it doesn't work. We see in this world, these, planets are moving, everything is, moving, there is function, there is motion. So there must be a mover. Rasulullah said, Alaykum bideen al-ajais. You must have religion like old women. We think that old women, for example, maybe they are not, understand. No, Rasulullah says old women, they have wisdom, they have knowledge. Look at this lady. She's able to argue for her faith. If she didn't have this argument, someone could easily put doubt and shak in her mind. And this argument is not a simple argument. This is the argument with philosophers, called the prime mover. The prime mover, unmoved mover. Even great philosophers have this argument. Of course, every person can articulate the argument according to his or her own level. Yes. But the argument is valid. Something important is that when you teach something, even if it's to a child, teach something which is valid and can be backed up by arguments. Maybe you say it in a simple way, but there is a difference between simplicity and looseness, baselessness. Don't say, these are children, we can tell them everything. When we speak to adults, we are careful. No. The same thing that you say to the children, you should be able to say to scholars. It means that you should have arguments for that. You should have reason for that. You should have evidence for that. The only thing is that you simplify the language. Maybe you don't say some of the details, but should be exactly according to the truth. Okay, so there is a difference between simplicity and baselessness. Everything must be solid. Everything must be firm. Islam has this principle that everything you do must be done in a firm way. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. When he was preparing the grave for one of the companions, he was doing it so carefully, as if someone is going to live here. You know, sometimes people build houses and they don't think that people are going to live here, you know, for years. They make it, you know, so, you know, badly that after a few years there is leakage, you know, pipes, everything is damaged. Rasulullah, when was making the grave ready, was making so carefully that some people were surprised. Oh, Rasulullah, we are going to fill this, you know, with soil. Why you are, you know, so careful about this lahad, all the stones, everything must be. Rasulullah said, Allah yuhibbu abdan idha amila amalan atqana. Whenever you do something, do it firmly, strongly. No matter whether you are making a palace or you are making a grave, you have to do it in the best way. Whether you are teaching a child or you are teaching an adult, whether you are writing a story or you are writing philosophy, you have to do it in the best way that you can. If we Muslims, you know, just one lesson, just this one lesson, our life will change. So, the certainty must be always there and must be backed up by arguments so that it is firm and it is solid. But every person can articulate it according to his or her own level. There is a famous argument in some books on philosophy of religion and theology. They attribute it to Pascal. Pascal, you know, is famous. And that is based on probability. Pascal was a person that was taking probability very seriously. Because, you know, he was, you know, interested in philosophy, mathematics. It is said that he was hanging horseshoe outside his house. Some people ask him, why do you do this? You know horseshoe? He said, it is said, people say, that it brings good luck. He said, he was told, do you believe in such thing? He said, I am not convinced, I don't believe, but they say even for those who don't believe, it brings good luck. This is a very rational approach. If something is possibly bringing good and there is no harm in it, okay, you can try it. There's no harm, yeah? Of course, if there is no argument against this. So, he has this argument. He says, if God exists, if religion is true, there is akhirah, there is, you know, hell, there is heaven, and you don't believe, so the harm is infinite. And if you believe and they exist, the benefit is infinite. And if God is not there and you don't believe, how much you are going to enjoy? Very little. For example, you don't pray, you don't fast, you know. It's a maximum. The people who are religious are not, you know, having miserable life. They are very happy with their life. So it's not that you are going to gain, you know, something very important. And if God doesn't exist and you believe, then you are not losing. So if you don't believe, you are not gaining that much. And if you believe, you are not losing that much. So when we imagine that God doesn't exist, religion is not true, the gain or harm is very little. Because everyone is doing his, you know, worldly life. But if religion is true, if God is there, and you believe, you have infinite benefit. And if you don't believe, you have infinite harm. So probability, okay, if it is taken into account, it's very wise, very rational to go for religion. Yeah? Because you are not going to lose, and you are likely to gain a lot. And you are definitely closing the harm to yourself. So definitely closing the harm and possibly gaining a lot. So it's very rational that you should go for religion. We have something like this in our hadith also. That I think it's Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has something like this. Of course, Imam Sadiq said, you know, much earlier this, that if there is no God, we are not losing. But you are losing a lot if God is there, if someone doesn't believe it. So, probability, or those arguments that we mentioned before, make every person determined to study about religion. And we should not be satisfied unless we find the truth. And you are able to argue for the truth. And this is something that needs to be done also in a logical way. You cannot say, I am convinced because everyone in my town says, you know, this. Maybe you are an atheist and you are surrounded by atheists. This is not, you know, enough. Even to religious people, we say you have to inquire, you have to have arguments. So for sure, atheists also should have, you know, arguments. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.